if you understand the personality you're dealing with, it makes it so much easier to present and also get the sell.
Welcome back to another episode of the Tradepreneur Show. Your host, Patrick Summers, joining me once again, co-hosting, filling in for Tanya Priest, Mr. Francisco Rodriguez.
Thank you for having me back, Patrick.
Yeah, man. I think we've
been... I almost feel like I got hired here. Am I going to start getting paid?
at least buy you lunch or something, right? So, listen, you've been on earlier episodes when we first started out and we talked sales. And I got a lot of good feedback on those episodes. So I was like, yeah, he's going to be co-hosting with me again. Let's do an episode on sales, especially, you know, now. This time of year, oh man, this September, October, you know, you come out of, especially in a climate where we are, Southern California, yeah. And there's other, you know, in the south, east and places like that, you're coming out of the summer, right? And the cooling season. You're not into the heating yet. And if you're a residential home service, you've got your cooling maintenances that you're pretty much out of, and it's too early to start heating maintenances. I mean, you do start them the best you can, but some days out here, we're still 100 degrees.
Yeah.
It's a little hard to go in and do a heating maintenance on somebody. So sales is important year round.
Oh, man.
But now.
Doesn't matter what time of year.
Especially, right? And it's the lifeblood of a business. I don't care what business you're in. I don't care what you do. If you're not selling something, you're not going to make it.
No.
And, you know, when we talk sales, we often think real estate, houses, air conditioning,
cars.
Cars, things like that. The reality is we've got sales happening every day, all day. I don't care if you go into a restaurant and they're selling you dessert.
Wait a minute, if you want to go have a beer with your buddy, you got to tell your wife that it's okay to go.
Exactly. So sales make the world go round. And unfortunately, it's kind of like when we were talking in a previous episode, the stigma around the trades. There's this stigma around sales, which to me is a joke, because everybody sells. Even people that think that's the biggest thing is people, I'm not in sales.
I'm not a used car sales guy.
Yeah, and that's it. Like what's wrong with used car salespeople? Like that's a stigma that's been created. I sold cars and I bought cars, and I've had good experiences and I've had bad experiences.
It's like, what would you rather say? Well, I rob banks for a living, instead of like, hey, I sell cars for a living?
Yeah, I mean, anyways. You know, we could go on and on about that. But what I really want to talk about, because you, again, have a proven track record in sales. You've been doing it a long time. You're a student of the craft. You've sold $5 million in 8 months. All right.
That's like 7 hours a month, sick with COVID.
Okay. You had COVID part of that. So, and typically you're a $2 to $4 million producer anyways, when you were selling full time.
Yeah. Right.
And so what I want to do is I want to talk to our listeners and just give them as much advice, wisdom, insight into the sales process and what has made you successful. And because you still go out and sell.
You mostly go out and ride with the guys and coach them.
But like when you walk into a home, like so you're going out to a home, and when you walk in, right, trust and rapport is really important to establish early on.
Yeah.
What are some of the things that you do to make that happen?
I think that one most impactful things that I've learned to do, which is very hard, and it doesn't matter whether it's your wife or anybody else, it's listening to the homeowner, listening to what their needs are, and paying attention to it to the client. But most importantly, letting them speak, because a lot of times what happens, speaking for myself, I would go into a home and tell them what great of a job I'm going to do, but I have no clue why I'm there or what their needs or their pain points are. So you got to be able to, instantly be a great listener.
And that's wisdom that is in some of the many early books I've read and are probably well known to many of our listeners. It's covered and people want to be heard. They want to know what they're saying is being digested.
It's so, my process is like no different than having like a small interview, but a friendly interview on understanding the needs of what is happening in the home. So that way, when I come back and present my options, I'm speaking to those needs.
Yeah,
specifically to those needs that they told me they had pain with.
Yeah, Yeah, and I mean, we experience it occasionally when you, well, because you would do a lot of follow-up calls too, with a homeowner if the deal didn't go through. And there's so many times that you would get on the phone with the homeowner and you'd close the deal.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of those times is because you listened and the individual that was in the home wasn't listening to the need.
Correct.
Right? And you actually, then you get an opportunity to get on there and you hear the need and you're able to fulfill that need, provide the solution. And it's a game changer.
It's like I tell my technicians, look, a confused mind is never going to make a decision. You got to, you know, be crystal clear of the message you're delivering and why it's needed. And most of the time, the client's going to tell you why. Now you just got to, you know, bring back those recommendations in a very easy way for them to understand it. And now it makes sense.
Yeah. And so what would you say is some of the most difficult customers to deal with or you have dealt with? And how do you
I say
establish that rapport?
Not to, you know, pick on you, but I think the hardest, you know, clients and easiest clients are deep personalities, high deep personalities. And the reason they're hard to sell is because most people don't know how to communicate properly with them. Again, that's what, like you're saying, you got to study your craft and learn the different personalities so you can adjust to that personality. And if you're able to adjust and be very direct, it makes it very, you know, way easier. It's like if I come into your office all the time, like, look, I'm going to come with the problem, but I'm already come with the solution that I could say my entire thing within 2 minutes, because after 2 minutes, I'm going to lose you.
Yeah, that's so important. And if you're listening to this, and if you're familiar with the DISC, that's one of the most popular, or any of the other assessments, there's tons of them out there. They're all, in my experience, the same thing, but different. And now the people that are trained in them and use them and whatnot are going to totally disagree with me. But at the end of the day, everyone that I take tells me the same thing, just in a different way. But real quick, if you are there's a DISC, D is a driver. I'm a driver. I'm that kind of take the hill, move forward. I can change real quick. If we said, no, guess what? We're going to take that hill. I'm fine with it. I change doesn't frazzle me. And I want things direct to the point. I want solutions, that type of stuff, right? And then you got an I, and you're an influencer, and the influencers are the man. They can get you to move forward with something. They can convince you. Like I'm the, like, we got to take the hill. Francisco's the one that's going to convince everybody why we got to take the hill,
yeah,
right? And they're going to love
them about it,
yeah. And so, and that's a great skill set for somebody in sales. And then the S I think it's steadiness or something. It's the stabilizer. They want everybody to get along. They want to do things as a group. They want, they don't like
stability.
Yeah. They don't
everybody
like disagreement. Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't like disagreement. They don't want to upset anybody. They're the customer. When you walk into the house, they tell you everything's fine. Everything's great. Yeah. 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 And when you get back to the office,
yeah,
they called in and complained. Because they didn't want to upset you, okay?
Or they canceled the job.
Or they canceled the job because they couldn't say no to you. I'll say no to you,
yeah,
right? Like, I don't care if you hurt your feelings. And then the C. The C is they're the analytical, all right? So a lot of electricians are Cs,
mm-hmm,
right? Now, a C will drive a D up the wall,
mm-hmm,
right? And vice versa.
Yeah.
Because they need a lot of detail. So if I say we're going to take the hill, Francisco is going to convince everybody we need to take the hill. The stabilizer person,
yes,
is going to make sure everybody has a lunch and plenty of water, and that everybody is happy and going to get along, and everybody understands what's going on. And then the C is going to be like, well, what time are we going? How long is it going to take? What route are we going to take? Well, what happens if we get up there and that route's blocked? And then what do we get up there? What do we do? What if people have to go to the bathroom? They're the ones that are going to overwhelm you with bullshit. They're the engineers.
It's so funny because it just brought, you know, to mind, like when you were in travel with Tim, which he's one of our electricians, and he wanted all this detail, like what time are we leaving? What hotel are we staying at? How long is the flight? What are you, like, it was just so, you're like, look, I have no idea. I'll give it to you when I get it.
Yeah, and because I'm all these people, it drives people crazy. It drives my wife crazy. I book a flight sometimes a day before. I literally was going on this trip, and it was actually a fishing trip, and I didn't know if I was going to go or not. And I get a text, and I'm in the air, and somebody texts me like, "Hey, are we going to be able to meet today?" It was an outside vendor. I said, "No, it's not going to work. I'm 33,000 feet over like Texas or something." They're like, "What?" I said, "Yeah, I made a decision last night. I would still go. I booked my flight and I went." But you have to know who you're talking to, because if you go in, to your point, if you're a C and you come in to present to me, you're not going to get any.
Yeah.
And you're going to upset me and piss me off. And again, like my wife, she is an IS, mm-hmm. right? And so you come in and present to her, how is it going to be different? You got to talk to her.
You got to lower your tone of voice, everything.
Yeah. You're going to ask about the kids. You're going to ask about the dogs. You're going to, you know, all of that. Yep. Me, I'm going to be like, nope.
Yeah, just give me the facts.
So to your point, now let's go into that. They're one of the hardest, but also one of the easiest.
If you understand them correctly, again, if you understand the personality you're dealing with, it makes it so much easier to present and also get the sell.
So, because a high D is going to want, they're going to want to know, how are you going to solve my problem? Exactly. What's the price? When can this be done?
And when's the, you know, what's going to be the payment? Like, give me exact numbers. I don't want it's going to be between $200 and $300. It's going to be $250 a month with 35 cents. And now you're getting exact information that you could quickly be like, okay, $230 with 35 cents fits into my budget. I can handle that.
And the D's I can tell you from B1, when it being heard, like if I tell you what my need is, and you try and offer me something that your need, I'm going to get pissed at you because you're not listening to me. You know what I'm saying?
And then what happens is, you know, we're so, you know, taught it, and, you know, especially in the beginning of sales, is, you know, don't give them the price to the end. Well, if you pulled off into, you know, A, B, C, D, F to get to the price, it may not work. You got to be able to adjust your presentation, not miss anything, but be able to adjust it to that personality as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's it. You know, it's kind of, we kind of turn this into a conversation on personalities and understanding the personalities,
but that's sales.
That's sales. And it, you know, it goes both ways. Cause I know I'm a D. So when I know I'm dealing with somebody that is an I, or like you use it as an example. Like when you come to my office, you come in one way, you're not going to sit down.
Yeah.
Be this, that, there, what. And when I come to your office, I sit down and talk because you're the I, mm-hmm. right? And so, it's very, very interesting, the study of personalities.
Yes.
and there's certain things, if you study it, you'll learn how to pick up. Like what I can usually tell, get an idea within the first few minutes of talking to somebody, how they are. Or what they are. Now, the important...
And if you like them or not, because they thought you're going to turn to your computer, beyond your computer, why you?
Yes, yes. And so the important thing is being able to read...
Your audience.
Your audience, the personality, and then being able to pivot to adjust, mm-hmm. right? So I'm a high D, but there's times I have to become a high I. Right. Or high S to adjust. And I can do it for short periods of time.
Yeah.
Now, and everybody has a primary and a secondary. So I'm a high D, a high C. So what that means, this is how it was described to me by somebody who facilitates this stuff. They said, "Patrick, you're an incredibly effective leader, but you're an asshole." And I'm like, yes, there's some truth there. But the reason being is, and I later found this out about myself, my high analytical, my D's here, my analytical is like, here, this only exists to serve this.
Yeah.
I'm high this way.
Just
to prove me right or prove you wrong or to win what I want. Right. And so I can get very deep into
the dad work.
Yes. Yes. And so I know that about myself. So I know when that's a strength,
mm-hmm.
and when it's a hindrance. And with that said, sometimes I know it's being a hindrance and I just can't stop myself. So let's talk. And we did an episode on this, but the importance of financing, how to present it, and why.
I mean, I think in today's age, you got to present it on everything. Right now, a lot of the training that we're doing, that I'm doing with the technicians, it doesn't matter if it's a $1,000 repair, $500 repair, whatever it may be. You got to present options at all times. It doesn't matter what it is. I know you use an analogy, like if you go to Macy's right now, you buy a, you know, $50, $100 shirt, they're going to offer you a credit card. That's financing, right? It doesn't matter, but financing needs to be offered every single time. Doesn't matter the size of the ticket, because at the end of the day, nobody woke up saying, I want to buy an air conditioner. Oh, I hope my air conditioner breaks so I could spend $300, $400, $500 to fix it. It doesn't happen.
Well, so with that, and we did mention this in a previous episode, that our plumbing department is really offering.
Yes.
But you've been stepping into more of a training role in the mornings with our HVAC technicians. And I will tell you, it's paying off. So if you think training doesn't work and morning trainings don't work, they do. It's one of those things where, you know, where you put your focus is where you're going to get your results. And so you've been talking about the financing.
Financing,
and I started to see some financing come
through. For like $1,000,
yeah.
$1,200, yeah,
yeah,
because they're talking about it.
And guess what? What does that tell you? People want to use financing.
And then, you know, what you got to do too, when it comes to financing, like with us, we discover, it's an early in your discovery, you know, with the questionnaire that we have. But most people don't talk about financing till the end. Well, guess what? By that time, the client already lost the interest, because when you were talking about your product and everything, like, holy crap, like, this sounds expensive. How am I going to be afforded? Where am I going to get money from? Instead of just saying, look, Patrick, just to let you know, we have great finance at the beginning of the call, we have great finance programs, incentives, rebates, things that can help you, you know, make a decision today. So I'll share with those with you when time comes.
Yeah. With like that. Now they know like that it's an option.
No,
like
no, they,
it, cause they're going to start thinking like, oh man, I can get finance.
Yeah.
For this, right. So because before that, all they're thinking is, man, I hope I can afford this.
Or I only have $5,000 in the bank. I'm not going to empty out my account because how long did it take me to save that $5,000?
Yeah. And I've got that saved for this.
Mm-hmm.
And so you already overcame an objection they didn't even present yet, which
absolutely
is, show me how I'm going to pay, mm-hmm, for this. Right?
Absolutely.
Now, the other thing is objections.
Mm-hmm.
So I can tell you from the AI tool we use, the top three objections right now, do you know what the number one is? Off the top of your head.
Either I got to talk to my spouse or I got to think about it.
You know, check it out. Because I was just looking out. I just looked like the last 90 days. The number one objection we're getting right now, and it's not an objection, but it's not leading to conversion. So this is really good insight, is email me the...
Oh, the quote.
The quote.
Just send me an email.
Email me the quote. Well, like, if you leave it at that, you haven't even tried to overcome that objection.
Yeah.
So that's not an objection. That's the customer dictating to you how this is going to go.
And I think a lot of that happens because, you know, when you start talking about technology, you know, the art of writing something down for the homeowner has gone away because everybody has, you know, a CRM that they're able to do their pricing on the iPad. And I'll tell you, when I was doing that, it brought my conversion way down because it doesn't give a visual to the homeowner. With a piece of paper, you could write things down, you could customize it to the homeowner. So now the clients are like, okay, they're paying attention. They know exactly what I want. They're designing a system or repairs for my specific needs. So it makes it very easy for them to make a decision because now they know that you care.
Well, and to that point, I think that the tools that you use are very important, especially visuals. And that's me. So again, as a high D, I'm also a visual, right? So I like to see things. So if you're talking filtration and stuff, and you can show me the filtration, but aside from that,
I'll tell you, I even go to the point of if I go on a sales call, like, I am not going to use my phone as a calculator. I'm going to pull out my little calculator because everybody, okay, now we're just going to be talking about numbers. And it makes it, you know, for me, it seems like the client, you know,
that's the stage.
Yeah, absolutely.
The stage. So, yeah. So, like, I believe the iPads that we started using as a presentation tool have a place to show a video or to show something.
A product,
specific,
a picture. Right? I don't think job that we did.
But the actual getting that loose leaf pad out and doing the way it's done. Again, when I sold cars, it was the process of you took a piece of paper, you folded it a certain way, you wrote, you asked some questions, how much do you want to put down, boom, and you folded it again, how much do you want as a car payment, then you'd write that down, and then you, okay, I'm going to assign this,
yeah,
you know, that if I can get this done, you'll buy the car.
Yes.
So you'd go into for the guy, and the guy would be like, this guy's, what is he, crazy? How's he going to buy a $40,000 vehicle for $500 or $250 a month? So then he would take the paper and do a certain way and write. 5,000 down and like 2,000 a month. And you're like, it was funny because when I started selling cars, I'm like, this is ridiculous. And you'd go out and you'd say, okay, here's, I couldn't get that done, but here's what we can do. 5,000 down, 2,000 a month. Are you crazy? Oh, okay, well, what can you do? And you go back and forth and that's bracketing.
Yeah.
Right? That's negotiating. But there was a process to doing it instead of just saying, hey, man, what can we do?
Okay, yeah.
Let's, because you're getting somebody involved in the process and they're actually seeing it. And so now when you get close to where you need to be, that's when you have the conversation like, listen, this is a car, even with no interest. Mm-hmm. That math does not pencil
to what you're saying.
Yeah. And so then people are, okay, that makes sense. And you know, and you're building rapport and trust over that period of time. And so I think to your point, with the calculator, with the pen and tablet,
yeah,
it makes a huge difference. It's like psychological.
And I'm, you know, thinking right now, even going through like sales calls that I've been to, and, you know, say they ask me about emailing a proposal. Well, why are they asking me to email it? Because guess what? I'm probably going to be on the wrong product, or I didn't present exactly what they needed. So they're going to just take that information and just shot me with it. So no, I think it's, you know, a lot of it's not really paying attention to the homeowner needs.
Well, and then number two was, I need to talk to my spouse, right? That's not an objection. The first two were stalls.
Yeah.
Right? Get out of my house. You have an interest in me. You're not offering me what I want or what I need. The third was price.
Mm.
Okay? And price isn't even an objection. Like, the first three are wrong product.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You've got them on the wrong product. And we had somebody who, when they would sell, they would have a huge sale, right?
Mm-hmm.
But their closing rate was horrible because they only believed in selling the products they had
at their house,
which was the high end. So that would be like going to buy a car and somebody's only going to sell you the Raptor with the V8 engine because that's what they have. When really all you need
is a
traditional F-150. You're fine with two doors.
Yeah.
You need the 8-foot bed because a
ladder and things like that. Yeah.
And, but you're trying to sell them that because you're not listening. And you got them on the wrong product.
And I'll tell you, a lot of what I think when it comes to the price objection, the reason that the price objection is an issue is because salespeople do not present all of the options. They start with the system that they think is going to fit that client's needs. And it's none of their business what system it fits. It's up to the client to decide. So I'll tell you, it pisses me the hell off. If I go to a sales call and a comfort advisor does not present our top-of-the-line system, which is going to be around $35,000 to $37,000 on every single call, we're going to have a freaking issue. Because the client should be aware of everything that we have from that system down to $10,000. It doesn't matter. Let the client make the decision on what they want. Because another thing is, look, if we could be selling air conditioning, the top-of-the-line system, and we start at $10,000, it's going to be a lot of money. It doesn't matter what price point you start. The client's going to be like, holy crap, that's a lot of money. I could tell you it's a $5,000 system. You're like, oh my God, it's a lot of money. But now if you start at $37,000, $30,000, whatever your highest price system is, and you present that every single time, and you start moving your way down, now it makes it easier. Okay, so I do have options. I don't have to buy that, you know, top of the line system. I could get the next system down or the next system down or the next system down. But you let the client make that decision based on the information that you're giving them.
And you had really started focusing on making sure that's getting done. And the result is we're selling a lot more high-end systems.
Yeah, a lot more.
Because before they just weren't being presented.
No, because they're afraid of the price. And when they're afraid of the price, it comes back to, again, to the leadership that they're not properly training the technician and how to present that pricing and the value behind the pricing and who's standing behind that product to be able to justify that price. And most of the time what happens is a lot of the salespeople don't even believe in the product. So if you don't believe in the product, you're already like, dude, you may get lucky and get a sell here and there, but you're never going to be a top performer if you don't believe in your product, your company, and your install crew.
Yes, yes. I could not agree with that more. And the other, with the top line product, now I take the podcast and I cut it down into snippets to help promote it. So it goes out on social media. And social media is where I get a lot of engagement. And this snippet on a $35,000 system is going to get the negative engagement. And I always get the guy who's like, my system's 35 years old and it works fine. And the comment is, oh, he's a used car salesman. I was like, well, I sold new and used
yeah.
together. But anyways, The reality is when you go into a house, and we've got systems that are in the $10,000 range.
And that's all the options.
And when you go into a home and you're presenting and the customers that are saying, yes, I want that system. It's like, see, too many times a salesperson thinks from where they're sitting, and you're presenting a $35,000 system to somebody that has a $120,000 vehicle.
Yeah. Okay. One of the last I used to look, if you were able to drive the, you know, any of these air conditioners, which one would you drive?
And that's beautiful because now it frames it in a way they understand. Wait a minute. I got a $120,000 vehicle or an $85,000 vehicle, whatever it is, that I'm going to have for 4 years. Some people I know, they like to finance them like a house for 8 years or some nonsense, but 4 years, maybe 60 months. And you're paying that much money. Even if you have it on a 2 year lease, it's still a lot of money. And
no return on investment.
And it depreciates, no return on investment. And you're in it on average an hour, 2 hours a day, where your air conditioner is a ply product that's being installed in your home that has to keep you and your family safe, that controls your comfort, and that you are interacting with probably 12 to 18 hours a day, depending on the season and
the day of the week,
your requirements. And here's the real important thing is it's an apply product. So if you got two homes, three homes are all the same, they're not all the same. It's an applied product. You're taking something because you take a vehicle and I like explaining this to people because it totally opens their mind. Like, listen, if your shopping price, all the price is matters. Okay. Let me ask you a question. You go buy a car. I get it. You want the Ford F-150. This is, you know exactly which one. You're going to go to this dealership, and this dealership. Mm-hmm. You're going to get the best price, right? You might take into consideration who's closer to your house, who has better service. But at the end of the day, if you can save $5,000 or something.
Yeah, you're going to drive with that.
Now, what happens if Ford sent the F-150 in a box and it had to be assembled? Like they send ATVs and things like that. And it had to be assembled. Now is the quality of that dealership's service department,
the installation department, be the safety aspect,
deciding factor, because price becomes less of a factor now because I need to make sure that thing is assembled properly.
Well, they're spending on it
when you're buying an air conditioning system. So when people say, I'm just worried about price, I'm looking at price.
I don't think you just then present the value of what we bring to the table.
Well, that's where I'm going with this is because so many, that becomes the objection, price. But because
we created ourselves.
And you made no attempt to overcome the price by giving comparatives and analogies that help the homeowner
or somebody there
understand that it's not just a price issue.